Welcome to The Watchman, your weekly one-hour expose on Bible prophecy and everything you need to know about the times in which we live, because the coming of the Lord is sooner than you think.
Good evening and welcome to The Watchman, and we're continuing with our study on kind of what we were doing last time. But I want to start today. I'll read an email I got on email contacts. By the way, of course, just as a reminder, you can contact me on UgandanWatchman@gmail.com, UgandanWatchman@gmail.com. That is the email address that you can use if you want to get in touch with this show. But then I'll start with this from a gentleman called Joseph. I'll keep his second name, because I didn't ask for his permission to read his email. Thanks a lot for this for last Wednesday's broadcast on sowing. I'm reading from it. You can't believe it was just the right message for me at the perfect timing. Here is how I know. Just as we were starting, I was ready to dismiss the whole message. This is because I'm fairly not comfortable with preachers going on and on about giving. I was ready to zone out when you asked us to listen till the end. This was made for me because at that point I decided that since I'm confident in what you say in other areas, I ought to at least give you the benefit of doubt in this area too. So I continued listening dismissively. However, as you went on, my spirit was in real agreement with what you said. I found that as the message went on, it ministered to my financial needs deeply. My frustrations over praying for finances and not being answered were being revealed. As you nailed the message with that Kenneth Copeland story, I knew there and then that the show was meant for me. I had heard that very story a few days ago, not from anyone or anything. Up to this day, I can't say where I heard it, except that it had been God speaking to me. The best English word I can use to describe it is déjà vu, even if déjà vu is not exactly an English word, it's more like French, something you've heard or experienced before, but this was not exactly that. God had told me that story in a dream or wherever, but in my spirit. But as you went over it, I knew that God was confirming it to me. It was him saying, I told you so. Now, I don't expect that he knew my vision. That's what it precisely was. He means his vision in having known that story that I told you that happened between Kenneth Copeland and T.L. Osborne. But you spoke it to me. You confirmed what God was telling me. You did. And it was such a wonderful feeling. Thank you for listening to God that day and preaching the message that day. I'm so grateful. Now, this is interesting because here is somebody who says he was about to switch off because he's tired, apparently, of preachers going on and on about giving. Why is that? Because people think every time you talk about giving, you are asking them to give you. But I did not say anything about you sowing or giving to this ministry or to me. I didn't say anything of the like that time. I was just telling you how important it is to identify good ground and how you can tell good ground. I did not mention anything about myself. And, I listened to what God tells me to. I did not plan to preach that day, but I felt led to do it. And I did it. And I'll preach what I feel led to preach. Of course, if it doesn't fit into what you think I should be talking about, that is your problem, not mine. Because I do what the Lord tells me to do, not what you want me to do. You understand? Because I'm not serving any human being. I'm serving God. And it is Him that I'll listen to. So, the point is this. I just thank God that this gentleman listened through to the end. Because people have a way of blocking things out. Okay? And you decide that this is what I want to hear, this is what I don't want to hear. So when somebody starts talking about this, then you switch off. And of course, I understand sometimes there are reasons behind that, maybe because there's been abuse. But I told you here before that you have to understand the way the devil operates. When the devil is going, when something is going to change people's lives, and it's the enemy senses it, he will start by sending people to completely destroy it. So that when the real thing comes from God, people's minds have shut off. And then there is nothing God can do for you if you've shut off your mind. If you've decided that as soon as somebody says anything about this, I zone out. So, same thing as the message of end time. When the time of the end comes, so many people start saying stuff like, Jesus is coming back in May next year. Then, of course, he doesn't come back. Then they say, no, now not May, now September. Then he doesn't come back. Then another clown comes up and says he's coming back on this date. Then he doesn't come. Then eventually when somebody comes and tells you that we are living in the last days, your mind has switched off because you say, oh yeah, I mean, we've had that. Come on, not even you. I mean, we've had that before. But then this time it's for real. And because some fake person made you switch your mind off, then when the real thing comes, you miss out on it. That's exactly what happened before the first coming of the Lord. When the devil senses that something big is about to happen, he doesn't know, but he senses it. He senses by certain movements in the spiritual realm when something as big as the birth of Jesus Christ is about to happen. So what does he do? He sends so many false prophets who say, the Messiah is coming. Then somebody comes, then he's the Messiah, then he actually isn't. Then another one comes. So after about 10 fake messiahs, then Jesus Christ comes up, and when he says, I'm the Messiah, everybody is like, come on. I mean, we've had that before. And people switch off from him, and they miss the day of their visitation because they fell for an old trick of the devil, spoiling something. I've seen it with so many things, the message of giving. Now, of course, so many people switch off as soon as you talk about giving. But I don't care. You can switch off now, by the way. Now would be a good time to switch off. Because it's not meant for everybody. It's just meant for some people. And I got used to the fact that when God tells you to do something, it's not meant for everybody. Sometimes it's even meant for one person. Okay? I've had that with the old trick of the devil. For instance, the prophetic ministry. Now, a true prophetic ministry can bless the church tremendously. And now, of course, the true prophetic ministry is being revealed to the church. But because the devil knew that, he came up with so many fake prophets. Now, when you say the word prophet, everybody's mind gets into this alert mode. Their hair stands on the head. Prophet, because there's something wrong with it. But then if I say pastor, there's nothing wrong. But, I mean, prophet is pastor and part of the fivefold ministry. So you cannot accept four offices and then remove the one. You are not going to remove it. It is going to be there whether you like it or not. So just because you've encountered some false prophets doesn't mean that God is going to decide, okay, now let's do away with the prophetic ministry because they are false prophets. That's not how God operates. So if you decide to do away with it, then you miss out on it. But God is not going to do away with it, because there are some people who came claiming to be prophets and they were actually not prophets. But they will be good prophets, and they are good prophets, and they are such a blessing to the church for those who will accept them. For those who will not accept them, that is your business. God is not going to change the way he does things because of you. He is not. Because the word of God is eternal, from generation to generation, from everlasting to everlasting. Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away. But the words that I speak to you shall never, never, even in heaven, they will always be true. There is nothing that comes out of the word mouth of God that is time bound. Okay? It is all eternal, because God is eternal and he can only speak eternal. So I just wanted to read that to you, so that if you're the kind of person who switches off, maybe you switched off, because I felt it in my spirit last time at some stage. As soon as I introduced my subject, so many people switch off, and I felt it and I knew it, and it's fine by me. Okay, only that I don't feel good, because I know people are missing out on something which is going to be extremely important for them. Now if you decide to close your ear to the word of God in regard to what we are talking about here, then you've made a choice, whether you believe it or not, to stick with the Babylonian system. And the Babylonian system is going to be the Babylonian system. And by the way, just in case you don't know, the Babylonian system doesn't wish you any good. As a believer, as a child of God, the Babylonian system is meant to suppress you. It's because it's run by the god of this world. You understand? The god of this world being the devil. It's run by the god of this world, and it's 2 Corinthians 4:4, that's what the Bible calls him, and it is meant to suppress you. As a child of God, the Babylonian system is not meant for you. Now, if you stick to it, because all the people around you are thinking the same things and what, eventually, either you get squeezed or you join them in so many other things. Because let me just explain to you one thing. My father had one job and had one salary, and looked after children and took us all to school off that one salary. Just one salary. Now, there is no way I am going to take care of all my children and give them the life that I want them to have on one salary. Now, it is why? Because it is becoming tighter and tighter. And it is going to become even more tighter. I want you to understand this, that it was once okay, now it becomes tighter, and that's how it is designed to be. So it's going to become tighter and tighter, that Babylonian system, where you're depending on one income. You're not connected to the supply of God, which is eternal, which is not affected by anything. You're depending on your salary and what, so you decided, let me just budget my salary and stick to the Babylonian system. So you don't want to tithe and what, it's going to get tighter. After some time, the things that you used to buy with that salary, you'll not be able to buy them. And so on and so forth. And that's precisely how it is going to be. The only thing that does not subject to the getting tighter and tighter, because it goes the other direction, is the system of God. And the Babylonian system that's how it is. It's designed to squeeze people, I'm going to show you that. That's why in the Revelation chapter 18, and verse 4, the Bible says, "And I heard a voice from heaven saying, come out of her, come out of Babylon, my people, lest you share in her sins." Now, that is the system. Babylon here is a system of governance, a system of thought pattern, a system of finance, an economic system, a political system, and a religious system, okay, which is governed by a way of thinking that is similar. Now, you might be a believer, but if your way of thinking is the same as the people who are following the Babylonian system, who are not believers, then you will not have any difference from them, because your mindset is the same as theirs. So you'll continue being squeezed. That's why Revelation says, come out of them, my people, come out of Babylon. Trust God, believe God in these areas. You've believed him with your salvation, you've believed him with life hereafter, believe him in your finances as well. Just believe God. If the one part of the Bible you can't take that part out of the Bible. It is there whether you like it or not. Now, I made a conscious decision that I will believe God, even with my finances. And I'm going to tell you, I'm going to expound on what you talked about last time. I was telling you how important it is to identify the ground. The difference is the ground. The biggest difference in whether you get a harvest or not is the ground. And I was telling you how to know where is a good ground to sow. Because when you sow in a good ground in faith, you will definitely get an increase. There is no two ways about it. You definitely get an increase. And the money that releases, that you release from your hand, the money that comes out of your hand, does not get out of your life. It doesn't, any more than a seed that a farmer plants in the ground gets out of his control. No, it doesn't. The money that you release does not get out of your life. It just goes and gets multiplied and will come back to your life at a later stage when you actually need it even more than you do need it now. I know that for a fact, and I practice those things. I know what I'm talking about, and I believe God with my finances. I'm not going to believe him with part of my life and then leave the other part and say, God, you leave this. I mean, of course, you have the choice. You can do that as well. But I just want to show you how the Babylonian system works. And I'm reading from Exodus chapter 5. Afterward, Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, "Thus says the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast to me in the wilderness." Now Moses is talking about slaves and telling the Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, that let my people go, that they may go and have a feast. Where did you ever hear a slave having a feast in the wilderness? And Pharaoh said, "Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I do not know the Lord, nor will I let him go. Nor will I let Israel go." Now, of course, here Pharaoh is challenging the authority of God. Who is Yahweh? Of course, the word here, the Lord, the name here, of course, when you read in the Hebrew Bible, God is called different things. Some places is called Jehovah, other places is called Yahweh, other places is called Elohim. And all those are in the Bible, in the original Hebrew Bible. Of course, in the in the English Bible, they are all translated as either the Lord or God. But now here, the word is Yahweh. So he says, who is Yahweh? And Yahweh is God's redemptive name. Now, in the Bible, God uses different names depending on what he is going to do. So he has so many names, and he uses them depending on what's on the agenda. Now, because he had come to rescue Israel from the bondage of Egypt, he was using Yahweh, because Yahweh is God's redemptive name. So, who is Yahweh that I should obey his voice and let Israel go? I do not know Yahweh, nor will I let Israel go. So, Moses and Aaron said, "The God of the Hebrews has met with us. Please let us go 3 days' journey into the desert and sacrifice to the Lord our God, lest he fall upon us with pestilence or with the sword." Then the king of Egypt said to them, "Moses and Aaron, why do you take the people from their work? Get back to your labor." And Pharaoh said, "Look, the people of the land are many now, and you make them rest from their labor." Now, I want you to understand that those words of Pharaoh are the words of the devil now. When you want to get out of financial bondage, then the devil says, no, why? It seems these people are becoming idle. Now, let's give them more work, that they may work so hard that they don't even have time to listen to the words of God. It's only, I'll read the rest of it for you. So the same day Pharaoh commanded the taskmasters of the people and their officers, saying, "You shall no longer give the people straw to make brick as before. Let them go and gather straw for themselves, and you shall lay on them the same quarter of bricks which they made before. You shall not reduce it, for they are idle." Now listen to this. "They are idle, therefore they cry out, saying, let us go and sacrifice to our God. Let more work be laid on the men, that they may labor in it, and let them not regard false words." Now, I want you to understand that. Now, that's exactly what the devil's plan is for you. Let you have to work from 6 a.m. up to midnight, so that you can genuinely not even listen to a program on radio talking about the word of God. You have no time to go for a conference, even if you want to, a Bible conference. You can't even attend a night prayer and pray overnight. You can't what? Not because you don't want, but because your job is pressing you. So now that is the Babylonian system. And that's how it wants to treat believers. Pharaoh says, no, these people are idle. Now they are beginning to listen to idle words. So let more work be put on them, that they may labor in it, so that they do not have any time to listen to what? To idle words. What he calls idle words are the words of God. I'll read that scripture again from Exodus chapter 5. I'll start with verse 8. "You shall lay the same quarter of bricks on that which they made before. You shall not reduce it, for they are idle. Therefore they cry out, saying, let us go and sacrifice to our God. Therefore let more work be laid on them, on the men, that they may labor in it, and let them not regard false words. What are false words in this case is referring to the word of God through Moses and Aaron. Now, what happened after that? Actually, when Pharaoh said that and the children of Israel were pressed hard, they turned against Moses and Aaron. Initially, when Moses and Aaron came and told them that God has come to deliver you, they said, oh, thank you very much. But when the situation became tight, they said, let's stay with Pharaoh. What is that? They had made a decision. Let's at least be comfortable in our slavery. Now, that some people have decided to do that, but I'm telling you a better way. Now, the Babylonian system likes you to have two. If you have 3-4 children and it is school fees time, I am telling you it's going to be hard. It's hard pressing. Okay? When the term is beginning, you're tormented because there's school fees, then what? And you think it's God's will? No. What does God have to benefit from his children being tormented over school fees? He knows your kids have to go to school. He knows you have to. I mean, but you see, if you follow the Babylonian system, you will go down with it. That's why the Bible says, come out of them, my people. Okay? Now, I just wanted to convince you that if you are one of those people who says, me, I zone out when you start talking about money, then go ahead and zone out. Now is a good time. As good a time as any for you to zone out. Okay, now let's start from, get back to our lesson. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 17. For we are not like so many, like hucksters. I'm reading from the Amplified Version. For we are not like so many, like hucksters. Hucksters are like con men or tricksters, making a trade of peddling God's word, shortchanging it, adulterating it, and adulterating the divine message, that is. But like men of sincerity and of a purest motive, as commissioned and sent by God, we speak his message in Christ in the very sight and presence of God. I was telling you how to identify good ground, okay, last time. If you didn't listen to the message last time, you have got to get it. And you've got to get the two of them. And by the way, I have some good news for you. All of you want to get all the messages of the Watchman. I think we are finding a way of compressing them so that they can fit on an email. So if you just get on, become one part of our mailing list, then we can send them out to you at no cost at all on mail, so that you do not have to go and pick them from anywhere. You can get them from the comfort, well, of your desk or wherever. So you can download them anytime. You can listen to them without any need for movement. Because initially I've been telling people to come someplace and pick them up. And of course, it inconveniences some people because the time might not be good for you. However, now we are trying to compress them in a format that can be sent through mail so that you have no problem getting them. If you're on the mailing list, if you're part of our mailing list, for those people who requested for them, then they shall be sent to you free of charge. If you haven't requested for these messages and you want to get them, just send me an email. I told you, UgandanWatchman@gmail.com. So that's the good news. Now let's go back to the word. So, I got 5 things from there that identify somebody who is good ground. Number one, a clear commission. I told you this last time. Somebody has got to have a clear commission from God, where he's doing something which is clearly he has been commissioned. And Paul says that very well, like as commissioned and sent by God. I'm getting all this from that one scripture, 2 Corinthians 2:17. Number two, he talks about sincerity. They have got somebody who is sincere. It's somebody who tells you something they believe in, not something they are telling you because it is of benefit to them. Now, how do you know they believe in it? If they practice it. So if somebody does not tithe, don't give him your tithe. You're wasting time. It is not going to benefit you. If your church does not tithe, don't tithe there. I know you've been taught so many things, what, that there may be food. Now, I'm going to give you what the scripture says about all these things. If they do not tithe, do not tithe there. Because even churches are supposed to tithe. Everybody is supposed to tithe. In the Bible, the Levites who received the tithe, we are supposed to get part of their tithe. I mean, part of all the money received from the tithe, and they will get a tenth of it, and they were also supposed to tithe. So there is nobody who is exempted from tithing. Just because you're a pastor, and because you have a church, even the church has to tithe, even the pastor has to tithe, everybody has to. Now, they have to be living the message for it to work. Now, if somebody is just preaching it for their convenience, because the money is coming to them, if you notice that, stop giving them any money. It is not going to benefit you. That is bad ground. Number three, motive. That's why I told you, that's why I've just told you now, that last time, I did not ask you for money. I did not preach that message because I wanted you to give me money. By the way, I did not. Okay? When I wanted partnerships, the Lord told me, tell people who want to partner, and I told you. I didn't tell you last time. because I was just preaching the word of God. You understand? There was no motive of I want anything or what. It is the word of God. That's how it works. And if you listen to it, it is going to put you off the Babylonian system and put you on the system which does not become squeezed and squeezed and squeezed every time, but which becomes expansive and expansive and expansive until you get to an area of abundance where you do not have to worry about school fees because the money is in the bank. You just get it and transfer it to your kids, the accounts of their schools and whatever. And precisely that's how God wants you to be, so that you have time to read the Bible. Now, some people don't even have time to read the Bible because they are busy, and they are genuinely busy. They don't have the time. Why? I read for you the scripture. Pharaoh says, let them be given more work, that they may work hard, and they have no time to heed to the words of Moses and Aaron. That is the plan of the Babylonian system. So motive. If you sense somebody is preaching about giving purposely because they want money, that and the purpose is that they want the money, that is bad ground. Okay? Because you do not give a person, you give God. That is called fundraising, not sowing. It's called fundraising. There is a difference between sowing and fundraising. Now, if you want to be a donor, go ahead and donate money. That's different. But if you want to be a sower, do not sow in that ground. It is not good ground. Of course, you can donate. Maybe you have a lot of money, you want to give out some. You do not expect a return. Of course, you can go ahead and give, like they give at fundraisings. But if you're a sower and you want a return and you're giving money which you need, of course. Amen? Money which you need, and because you are believing God for a harvest, for something bigger, because you're hard-pressed and you want to see better times, look out for the ground and do not give where the motive is not right. Okay? And I'm getting all this from this scripture, by the way. Number four, they have to speak the true word of God. Not adulterated and not changed to suit circumstances or motives. It has got to be the true word of God. The Bible says this about giving, and I will present it the way the Bible says. If it is presented as the word of God, and indeed is the word of God, then God is always true to his word. The Bible says he has put his word above his very name. God's word is his honor. When he says something, every force in it, every force of the godliness of God himself is there to back up his word if somebody believes it and acts on it. God, the whole of heaven has to back up the word of God if you believe it and act on it. But if somebody is preaching something which is not the word of God, do not sow there. If it is not the true word of God, do not sow there. That is not good ground. Number five, and the last, there has to be a present anointing, not a past anointing, a present. And by anointing, I don't mean what you've made anointing look like, okay? Not the kind of anointing that you've been taught of people falling and what. That's, I don't know what that is. But the point is, there has to be a real unction where somebody is speaking to your spirit, okay? Because you have the spirit of God in you. Like this gentleman said, Joseph, when I spoke something initially I wanted to remove, but eventually, because it is the word of God, it starts, and because it is by the spirit of God, and he has the spirit of God, because he is a child of God, eventually he starts connecting with it, and it connects straight to the spirit that is in him, because it is coming from the same spirit, you understand? And then it confirms, he has a confirmation in his own spirit. That's how you know true ground. You have to use a bit of discernment. Somebody can come and preach the word of God and appear to be good and with the right motive, but you have to trust your spirit. You know, people who have not been taught about discernment, how to discern what is good and what is bad. I remember speaking to somebody who told me he branched into a church which was actually a cult, but it was on a Sunday and he doesn't stay in this city, so he wanted a place to pray. So he's passing somewhere, he sees people praying, so he turns. Within 5 minutes, his spirit was so uncomfortable and he left. Then later he learned that that place was a cult. Now, you don't learn a cult by, just your spirit. If you listen to your spirit, it will tell you you're not in the right place. The spirit that is here is not the spirit that is in you. But you see, if you've not been taught how to be discerning and listening to things inside your spirit, you'll fall into every mistake. You'll have to fall into mistakes before you learn. Yet you can avoid the mistakes if you actually learn how to be discerning and listen to your spirit. Listen to that quiet voice inside you. If you become uncomfortable about something, about someone, just let it go. Let it go. Don't force it. Don't force it, because that discomfort might be your spirit telling you that there's something wrong. Now, the mistake many people make is that because somebody was once good ground, because he was once a man of God, because he has a name as having been a man of God, then he is still a man of God. But some men of God start very well and they are good ground, but they get off focus and they become bad ground. So just because somebody was good ground in 1980 does not mean he's good ground now, or even last year, or even the year before. You understand? Do not be like the proverbial fly that followed the corpse into the grave. If somebody has decided to live in disobedience, he's being connected to all sorts of things, this and that, you know, you're hearing stories about them, and you're no longer comfortable, don't insist that this is my what, this is my what, and then you get so passionate about it. You know, people get passionate about things of God as if it's about a football club. You can get passionate about your club and say, even if me, I'm Arsenal, even if we don't win trophies, I'll stay Arsenal. That's okay. But in the things of God, if you want increase, if somebody was once good ground, don't follow, don't, and he gets into disobedience, zone out. Don't put your money there, because you are going to partake in the judgment that is not yours, because he is in disobedience, but because you connect with him, you get a part of that judgment which is not supposed to be yours. Then you wonder why your businesses are not working out, why you're reducing instead of increasing, why your capital, which was once 100 million, is now 30 million and is going to reduce again and again, and you know, things like that. If it is not working after a period of time, don't expect it to work in one day. There is no crop that is planted today and sprouts tomorrow. But if after a period of time it is not working, there is something wrong. Don't just continue doing it religiously. Find out what is wrong. Is this good ground? Maybe I'm not giving in faith. Maybe there is something wrong. I mean, don't just continue giving when you're not seeing an increase. God promised an increase. He did not. You know, sowing is not a church tax. When you're taxed, you don't go and ask people. What, I mean, okay, maybe you do, but the point is that it's not a tax. A tithe is not a church tax. A tithe is a seed, which means when you tithe, you should expect an increase, just like a farmer plants and expects an increase. So if it is not happening, don't force yourself. Do not, you know, insist and become passionate and what. Maybe it is bad ground. Move on. Maybe the anointing is old. Maybe it's not fresh. Maybe the person you're tithing to has lost focus. Maybe he has become bad. Maybe he has joined homosexuals. Maybe what? I mean, don't force yourself. Now, so you know five ways. Number one, you have to see a clear commission. Number two, there has got to be sincerity. That is, the person you're giving has got to himself be a giver and a practitioner of the things that they preach concerning giving. Do not give your money to somebody who talks about giving but does not give themselves. Number three, motive. If you sense that the motive is to get your money, don't give it. Because the motive has got to be to tell you what the word of God is. And in sincerity, people who really want for people will say like Paul, I do not seek your gift, but I seek the fruit that will abound to your account. Paul is saying, okay, thank you for your things you brought, but I'm excited not because of what you've brought, but because of the fruit that abounds to your account. And you do have an account, okay, with God. Now I'll tell you how to tell bad ground. How can you tell bad ground? Number one. Now listen to this. These are very important. Those people who attach giving to needs. We need money to build. We need money to do this. We need money to buy chairs. Listen. You are giving to God, not to man. Even if eventually, of course, the money is eaten by man. But you are giving to God. God does not have any need. So if they come and tell you we need money for this, that is fundraising. If you want to fundraise, go ahead. But if you're sowing, do not sow where people attach giving to a need. Because God does not have any need. And the only way you're ever going to get money. I remember when Benin was here, he told a story of a man who was such a big giver. And he became broke. He lost his business. So it bothered Benin, and he went and asked God, why is it that this man who is such a giver has suffered this financial misfortune? And God told him, because he gives men, he does not give me. So the mindset with which you have determines so much. That's why I told you, have a mindset of a sower, not a mindset of a businessman, and not a mindset of a gambler. The mindset is important. Just know in your mind that you are giving God. And if you are giving God, God does not have any need. Okay? You give by faith, because he said you give and I will bless you. Give and I will multiply it. So because you believe in what God said, and because you've read his word and it says that, or you've had his word being spoken and it says that, you say, God, I have heard your word, and I believe that you are a faithful God. Now I bring this seed of mine, and I believe you. I'm giving it to you, not to any man, although you will eventually hand it over to a man. But I'm giving it to you, God, and it is because it is your word, and I believe you are the one who causes the increase. Okay? Now give with that mindset, and expect the increase, and give in faith, and you will see an increase. Because God's word is true. It always is. So do not, people attach giving to needs. That's fundraising, not sowing. If you want to be a donor, go ahead and donate. But if you want to be a sower, don't put your money there. Where does the Bible say that? It says that. It says, not out of necessity. Okay? What does it say actually? Let me get that scripture precisely. Let each one, I'm reading from 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7. Go and check it. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7. It says, do not give out of necessity. What does that mean? Do not give because it's necessary. Because somebody has told you, we are building, you have to give. Okay? That's donating, eh? Or whatever. So, bad ground, those people who attach giving to needs. That's fundraising. That is not sowing. Number two, bad ground. Those people who use coercion, who are coercing people to give. You know what coercion is? Coercion is basically soft forcing. Forcing you, but in a soft way. Okay? Kind of, you know, not giving you a choice. You know the way they do at wedding meetings? When you come and, you know, somebody says he has put 10,000 shillings, that you stand up and jump on the table. And then you have to pay 10,000 shillings not to do that. That's coercing. Of course, it's okay for a wedding meeting. I mean, that's that because they are fundraising. But if somebody puts you in a tight position where you have to give, otherwise you are going to get ashamed, that's coercion. Or if they kind of press you in a tight corner where you have to give, that's coercion. Bad ground. Okay, because the Bible says, let each one give as he purposes in his heart. You have to purpose in your heart, I am going to give this amount. And you give it. Don't let people coerce you out of what you purposed. You came with your seed of 50,000, but because there is this man preaching who is so good and at coercing, then you pull out money which you are not supposed to give. And the Bible says, let each one give as he purposes in his own heart, cheerfully. Okay? So if you are at the level of 50,000, where you say, I'm comfortable sowing this amount of money, that amount of money will grow. Okay? I told you about Kenneth Copeland. Started with $10. Of course, he didn't have it. He was poor. It's a different thing, of course, if you're a millionaire and you give $10, then you're mean, eh? You're a miser. And God does not like misers. But, he didn't even have the $10. He started at that level. But as soon as his financial state improved, he went on increasing at different levels. Until the point where he was giving $1 million every month to the ministry of Reinhard Bonnke. All the people were being saved through the Reinhard Bonnke, whatever. Kenneth Copeland was giving Reinhard Bonnke $1 million every month to do those crusades. Somebody started with $10, and even that he didn't have it, and a woman had to give it to him who had the voice of God. And says, hey man there, I believe God is telling me to give you this money. Because Copeland had said, I want to start with $10, but I don't have it. And because God promised that he gives seed to the sower, he decided to tell a woman who had it, give that man $10. And the woman obeyed, and he got the $10 and put it in an envelope. And that was the beginning. Then, of course, it's partnership. Now, if you get into a partnership, be consistent. Don't give when you feel like. Be consistent. If you commit yourself to giving to a ministry, be consistent. There is nothing that is done in emotion that is good. I mean, if you're fat and you want to lose weight and you eat vegetables one day and then you go back to junk, it is not going to help you. You have to be consistent. Everything that has a benefit has to have consistency. So do not commit yourself to partnerships unless you're serious, you're going to carry it through and be consistent. Then you will see the reward of it. Otherwise, you will not see the reward of it. Okay? If you want to be fit, you don't jog one day. You jog constantly. You've gotten my point. So coercion. Let each one give as he purposes in his heart. 2 Corinthians 9:6. So giving should be joyful, should be generous. That is, you do not give in a miserly way. You can afford $1 million, but you're giving 10,000. That's not generous. And it should not be out of obligation. you need it. We need this money. We have to do that. That is obligation. You're not obliged to give, except if you want to receive, if you want an increase. Okay? Don't let anybody make it your obligation. You have to give. If you're here, you have to give because we need what? That is by obligation. The Bible clearly forbids that. Read 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Then it also says in verse 7, let each one give as he has purposed in his heart, not grudgingly, not out of necessity. That's what I was talking about first. For God loves a cheerful giver. Okay? Now, of course, there are people who are experts at arousing emotions. They come and they excite everybody. And then they collect money. And there are people who are good at that. And actually, they are invited to churches to come and excite people and get money. And guess what happens? Those people get excited and give in excitement and they do not see an increase. Why? Because emotional giving does not help anybody. It has to be a purpose. Let each one give as he has purposed. You say, I am going to contribute to this ministry. I'm going to tithe here because I believe it's good ground. And I'm going to contribute to this ministry as my offering. I'm talking about any ministry. I'm not talking about this one. Okay? Maybe there's this evangelist who is preaching and people are getting saved and he's living the word of giving. I believe he's good ground, so I'm going to contribute to this, to his ministry, and I'll do it consistently. Now, if you do it consistently, is there? Now, if you give when somebody has excited you and you jump and you hold your chairs and what, that's fundraising. So those people are professional fundraisers. And very many Christians, because they are moved by emotions and not moved by spirit, fall into those traps. And then they wonder why they are not seeing an increase. So do not heed to those people who are called to fundraise. Now, number three, bad seeds. Number one, those who attach giving to needs, bad ground. Number two, those who use coercion, bad ground. Number three, those who abuse the message of prosperity as if it is some kind of inferior message to what they preach. You've had these people who say, people are busy preaching money, instead of preaching holiness, instead of preaching what? But you see, that sounds good, doesn't it? But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 7, as you abound in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in diligence, in love, abound also in this grace, which grace of sowing. That's the Bible. Now, if somebody says that for us, we are preaching more important things like holiness, the Bible says, as you abound in all the other things, including holiness and what, as you increase in them, increase in this one also. So it does not attach any more importance to the other one than to this one. If anybody does attach more importance to another message than to this, then they are not following the word. But then, again, if somebody else attaches more importance to this than to the others, they are also not following the word. Because Paul says, as you abound, in the same way that you abound in love, in diligence, in speech, in knowledge, you abound also in this. In other words, he's putting them at the same pedestal. But you see, those people who preach like that, don't even understand. I mean, the other day somebody was telling me, I was listening on radio to a pastor. I'm talking about a pastor. They asked him that if they told you to give you $1 million, to sodomize you, would you accept? And the guy said, I would accept because we need the money to preach the gospel. I mean, what kind of logic is that? That is absolutely twisted logic. Who says God needs homosexual money to preach the gospel? You leave though. I mean, isn't obedience greater than sacrifice? I mean, but of course you hear pastors saying that, $1 million. Now that's because they don't have money. Now, if you had $1 million God's way, there is nobody who is going to sue. Now, the reason so many people are doing things, because they need the money. Now, if you say for your preaching holiness, and you try to undermine the message of money, people will get to a point where they need the money, because they are in this world, and in this world you need money. And if they don't know how, they will fall into the trap of the devil. So, if somebody starts trying to talk bad about the prosperity, whatever, these people are preaching money, and he makes that his message. Do not honor him with your gift. That is bad ground. Do not sow there, because his heart is tuned away. If he does not believe it, he obviously is not practicing it. And if he's not practicing it, he's bad ground. So that's a clear way of telling. These people are preaching money. For us, we preach holiness. Oh dear. The Bible, as you abound in all the rest, in the same way, abound in this. Okay, so if you're preaching holiness, that's good. Do not try to put down any message thinking that by putting down another message, you are elevating your own message. The Bible says, in the same way that you are bound in other things, love. Love is the most important thing. What is love? Okay? What does John say? Love the brethren, without which you will not see the Lord. If anyone hates his brother. So love is important. But Paul says, just as you are bound in love, abound in giving. So, if a man of God speaks as if prosperity is not important, do not sow there. He's bad ground. Number four, how do you tell bad ground? Clearly, those who do not practice what they preach, I've told you that. You've seen people who are, first of all, if somebody is not living a life of integrity, he's a mufede, and he's a man of God. He doesn't pay debts. He doesn't do what. Don't tithe there. Clearly, he cannot be tithing when he's not even paying debts. Okay? Do not, if somebody is a mufede, is lying to get money and what, and you go and sow there, that is clear bad ground. I mean, look at somebody's lifestyle. Does it exemplify the message of God? Okay? If you cannot even be honest with other people's money, and he's a mufede, run away. Don't put your seed there. You're wasting time. That is bad ground. Remember, the most important thing is, it's not that people haven't sowed by their people sow. But the trouble is they are being sowing in bad ground. And so they haven't been reaping. So now you know how to tell good ground. But the final thing I want to tell you is use discernment. Use discernment. I've just given you things which can point you in a direction. But use discernment. Sometimes God will tell you where to put. You will feel it. You will feel led to put. Do not be led by your senses. Be led by your spirit. Use discernment. Number two, if discernment fails, because some of you are too carnal to discern, use results. If you've sowed into a ministry for 1 year, 2 years, and you're just going down, bad ground, that's a clear example. You don't even need discernment. I mean, you can use results. If a doctor is giving you chloroquine, and you're getting sicker and sicker, he would be a stupid doctor to continue giving you chloroquine. He has to change the medicine. Something is wrong. So you use, at least if you can't use the sense of discernment, use what I would call common sense. If it's not working, then there's something wrong. But I'm not saying if it's not working after 1 month, because I'm not encouraging you to be short-termists. Some of these things take years to manifest. I mean, take a while. But to manifest big. But there has to be a sense of it being some small increase. If there is a decrease, then there is something that is not right. So change. So I'll give you some keys here, and then we finish today. So when you're giving, here are some of the keys you have to follow. Give to a person's anointing, not to a system. Okay? Some of you give and then say, come and account what you did with our money. If you want accountability, then you did not give. When you give, you don't seek accountability, because when you give, it's out of your... Remember, when you give to God. So when you give, it's you know, don't be the kind of person who is, how do they, you know, how are they using their money? Then some churches even come and show you books of accounts, how we are using your money. And it makes you feel good. But it is not going to help you. Do you know why? Because you're not doing it in faith. You're doing it as a donor. If the donors, when donors give the government money, they demand accountability. Because they are not sowing, they are donating. Now, if you donate, demand accountability. If you sow, do not demand accountability. Because you've sowed into a commission. You've sowed to a person's anointing. Now, a system might be there to help the person. But God does not call a system. God calls a person. God does not call the Watchman Ministries. Okay? The Watchman Ministries is... I'm the one who came up with that name and what. God calls me as a person. And God does not talk to Watchman Ministries. He talks to me. You understand? And that's how it works. Where do I get that in the Bible? I mean, it's in the scriptures. You just have to look for it and you'll find it. But of course now, people say, you know, we need systems to do what? And systems governing is a good way of the world, eh? To curb the authority of a person. Because in the world, people use systems to avoid abuse of authority. So when you have a president, you have to have a parliament, which is going to curb his authority. Then you have to have a judiciary, which is going to make sure that there is justice. And it sounds all good, but that's not how the kingdom of heaven works. In the kingdom of God, God calls people. He does not call ministries. He does not call a registered ministry. He calls a person. Now, of course, the person registers the ministry for purposes of fulfilling his commission. Now, in your mind, when you're giving to a specific anointing. Is that in the Bible? I'll read from Philippians chapter 4 and verse 15. Because everything we're talking about here has to be proved from the Bible, from the Word of God. So that you give with a sure foundation of the Word of God. And you say, God, this is your word. You have to give me an increase because you are a faithful God. You're faithful. You do not speak and do not, you can't speak and don't do. When you speak, you do. Amen? Because he is a faithful God. Now, Philippians 4:15. Now, you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but you only. So Paul is preaching in Thessalonica, it is the Philippians providing for him. Paul is preaching in Crete, in all these other places, it is the Philippians providing it for him. Now, why? He actually goes on to say it. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent once again unto my necessity. Okay? Unto my necessity. Listen to those words. You sent unto my necessity. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire the fruit that may abound to your account. This is very important. You can tell somebody who is preaching because he wants money. And then you can tell somebody who is preaching, giving, because it's the word of God and he wants people to prosper. So Paul says, yeah, not that I desire a gift, but I desire that fruit that may abound to your account. Then he goes on to say, but I have all and I abound. I am full, in other words, I'm satisfied, having received from Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you. An odor, a sweet smell, a sacrifice, acceptable, well-pleasing to God. Now listen to that. Then he goes on to say, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. He did not say God. He said, my God. That is very important. My God will supply all your need because you've supplied my need. And I was called by God and I have a clear commission. That's what Kenneth Copeland is talking about there. What T.L. Osborne told him. Find somebody who has a commission from God but does not have the means to fulfill it. Get in there and supply them. I actually studied the history of these cities. Philippi became a very prosperous city because of what these Philippians knew, how to support the ministry of Paul. And they're actually a small city of 10,000 people. But they became very prosperous. Now, Thessalonica was a bigger city of 30,000 people. But because even when Paul is preaching in Thessalonica, it is the Philippians providing for him. Thessalonians did not see the prosperity that the Philippians did. And I went ahead to dig up that history, by the way. Because I'm a researcher, you know that. You can't teach this end time thing unless you do your research well. So, he says, but my God will supply all your need. Because you supplied my need, because it is my God who God who called me into this commission, my commission, which is to preach to the Gentiles, clear commission. And I did not have the money to supply my own needs. But you Philippians know that from the beginning of the gospel, no other church communicated with me in regard to giving and receiving except you. Then he says, my God. Now you will go and say, my God will supply all my needs. No, he's not talking about your God. He's talking about Paul's God. Because Paul supplied. In other words, the grace, that's what happens. When Copeland gives his seed to Oral Roberts, who has a commission from God, Oral Roberts' God, who called him to do what he's doing, will make sure everybody who connects with that commission gets an increase. Okay? Gets an increase. And it's automatic. It's automatic. You find a commission, somebody has been called, he does not have the means, and you know by discernment that this is of God, this is God calling this person to do this. You have the means, you connect with that, the increase is automatic. Now, that's why I'm telling you, don't give to a system, okay? Systems, actually people who usually have the third thing that I told you, the thorns, okay? If you are listening to last time, the thorns thing, usually it's a system. You know, see, everything is so systemized, you know, there's this, there's that, everything is well accounted for and audited for, and there is no anointing. And what causes an increase is the anointing. Now, Paul says, the anointing on my life for increase is going to affect you Philippians. And it did affect them. And they affected them and they became prosperous. So that's a very important thing. systems are important to support the anointed one. In other words, to complement the anointing, not to check him. It is God who checks him. God does not talk to a system. God does not talk to a church. He talks to the pastor or the leader. God talks to people. God deals with people. If you want a system, if you want something to be so systematic before you give there, go and donate. Go ahead and donate. But if you want to sow, sow into an anointing, which you can see somebody has a commission. That's the word of God. Okay? Anointing is when God is in control. Systems are when men are in control. When you put a good system, you kind of take control away from God. Of course, the systems are good, but only to support the anointing, not to take away from the man. So you have cases where I was hearing that Creflo Dollar preaches grace, and then the church board wants to fire him. And Creflo Dollar says, God told me to preach this. But the church commission, and God is not going to talk to the elders. He talks to the pastor. So if the elders fire him because of teaching grace, then the whole system is corrupted. Because God did not call systems, he called a person. So he will tell him, he told him, do you want to be a student of grace? And he told him, preach grace. But because some people are so important and they are part of the church eldership and board, things which are created by men and which God has no respect for whatsoever, then they try to stand in the way of God because they feel they are so important. And then you go ahead and give into such a system and you wonder why you're not increasing. God called you to give the anointing. I've given you the scripture. I'm going to have to end there today. But by the way, I'm not through with this. Next time, I'm going to tell you about levels of giving and a few other things just to cap this message up a bit. Now, in three messages, you will have known everything you need to know about sowing and reaping. And if you follow what I tell you here, which has been developed over years, by the way, just like all the other things, if you follow what I'm telling you here, you will definitely be part of God's end time prosperous church. I told you that is a prophecy which is getting fulfilled now. I'm not telling you that as a prosperity preacher. I'm telling you that as a Bible prophecy teacher. And all prophecies come to pass. As a matter of course, they definitely come to pass. The question is, will you be a part of it? If you follow what I'm telling you here, you will definitely be a part of it. God wants you to be a part of it more than you even want to. Because it is that money, it is that prosperity that is going to evangelize the world. I'm going to have to end here. I guess I'll see you next weekend.
That was The Watchman, with fascinating insight into the end times. Join us again next week for another update on Bible prophecy.